All right, go ahead and turn in your Bibles with me to Romans 12. That's going to be our text tonight. And if you guys are taking notes, our title tonight is going to be real simple and real direct. You can find it in verse 1. It's present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. And just so you know, I'm going to say the phrase living sacrifice probably around 40 times tonight because I want us to walk away from tonight knowing what God desires for his people, that we present ourselves as a living sacrifice. And in this passage, we're going to consider three aspects of a living sacrifice that's going to challenge the way that you follow Christ. And if you guys are taking notes again, I'm going to go ahead and share the outline. Our first main point is, what is a living sacrifice? The second main point is, why you should be a living sacrifice. And our third main point is how you can be a living sacrifice. Again, keeping it very simple. It's very good, very helpful. And even though I'm about to explain what a living sacrifice is, I want to go ahead and give a brief explanation as it's going to be our main theme. With the way that Scripture paints it, a living sacrifice is when a person joyfully submits all that they are to God, their body, heart, soul, mind, and spirit, without holding anything back in service to God. Let's think about that as I'm preaching tonight. But before we go any further, let's ask the Lord's blessing that he would renew our minds through his word. Heavenly Father, we ask that you be gracious to us and that you would open our eyes to help us see the wonderful things that are hidden within your word. By your spirit, would you show us these things that we would not conform to this world in the way that the world thinks, that we would be transformed by the renewal of our minds. Lord, please be gracious to us. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. All right, go ahead and read the passage starting with me in verse 1. Paul says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. You guys notice the way that I read that? It was a bit more passionate than me just normally speaking. Why? It's because Paul starts out saying that he appeals. This word means that he urges, he begs, he implores, he pleads with the Romans. Present yourselves a living sacrifice. He doesn't just say, you guys should think about possibly one day presenting yourselves as a living sacrifice. No, he says, no, present yourselves. I plead with you. Paul uses this word in 2 Corinthians when explaining to the Christians in Corinth, I appeal to you, don't squander your one opportunity to repent and believe in the gospel. When the gospel is presented to you, believe on it now before it's too late. He told them, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Think of how strongly you want those that you love to know the gospel and be saved, to pass from hell to heaven, to pass from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of God's beloved Son. You would appeal to them to trust in Christ and be saved. At least I hope you would. But Paul has that same intensity when it comes to those who already are Christians. He appeals not just to the unbeliever to be saved, but to the believer, that they would not waste their one life being a comfortable Christian. So Paul wants us to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. What is that? This is our first point. What is a living sacrifice? Paul starts by commanding us, present. I appeal to you, present your bodies. This word present means to offer. A living sacrifice is an offering to God. Most of us are faintly familiar with the sacrificial system in the Old Testament. You had priests, and they would offer up sacrifices to God. There were many different types of offerings: sin offering, peace offering, thank offering, many more. And the priests were given charge of the sacrifices. But under the new covenant described in the New Testament, after Christ fulfilled the law and became our substitute on the cross, there's no longer a need for animal sacrifices to be offered. So they ceased from being offered. But now, we as Christians are called priests of the new covenant. We are to offer and to present our own selves as living sacrifices. 1 Peter 2, verse 5, Peter says, "You yourselves, Christians, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ." So see, we are priests, and we are to offer living sacrifices. And what we're offering is ourselves. Paul here specifically in our text says, offer your bodies. But if I offer up my body, that also entails that my mind and my soul are already engaged in that. My desire and my thought process was to offer myself. If I put my entire body on the altar, that means that my mind and my soul already made that decision. It's all of you, not just your body. It's your heart, your soul, your mind, your spirit. All that you are is to be given to God. Your time, your possessions, everything, energy, strength, all of it is to be given to God. There isn't this aspect of, I'll give that to God, that can go too, but that, oh, Lord, that's mine. It's not yours. That's an idol. You see how that turned out for the rich young ruler? He said to Jesus, "I've obeyed you in everything. Only you can't have my money. It's mine." He wasn't willing to give up his idolatry, and he forfeited everything. God demands total obedience from the heart. It was never that God just desired the sacrifice. It was always the heart that he was after. But when the heart was there, the sacrifice always followed. But it's time to get to the crux of the matter. Paul tells us to offer ourselves as living sacrifices. Let's think about this for a bit. Living sacrifices. Living sacrifices. Guys, that doesn't make any sense. Sacrifices don't live. Sacrifices die. That's kind of the whole point of offering a sacrifice. It's a paradox. What do you mean, Paul? Besides, who are you to tell us this anyway, Paul? Actually, Paul is the most suited person to tell us, to command us to be a living sacrifice. In fact, he exemplified it better than anyone. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11. In this chapter, Paul was discussing his gospel ministry in comparison to false apostles, who were becoming popular for their ministry, but never actually sacrificed for the name of Christ. They were only in ministry for what it brought them. Paul demonstrated that the genuineness of his ministry, compared to the false apostles by what he suffered to bring the gospel to the nations. So if you want to see an example of a living sacrifice, listen to what Paul went through for the sake of the gospel. Looking with me, starting in verse 23, Paul said, "Are they, the false apostles, are they servants of Christ? I'm a better one. I'm talking like a madman with far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings, often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea. On frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, and toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, and hunger and thirst, often without food and cold and exposure. And apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. Guys, how many of us can't even sacrifice our Xbox time to pray, to meet with the one who died for you? Much less to love people by sharing the gospel with them and giving our lives up so that others may be won to Christ. Paul even says in 1 Corinthians 15, I die daily. Have you guys ever died to yourself for one day? Have you guys ever died to yourselves for a moment? Even in the smallest of things, when your mom asks you to clean your room, are you willing to die to yourself? You say, how is that important? It's extremely important because it's the glory of God that's at stake and everything. And you might think, it's not supposed to be like this, Jackson. This isn't fair. Why does God want me to be uncomfortable? God doesn't want you to be uncomfortable. That's why God sent Jesus to go die for your sins, so that you wouldn't have hell and that you'd have heaven. But that's on the other side of eternity. On this side of eternity, it's full of uncomfortability, yes. But we can't look at the lives of unbelievers and say, Christians have it so difficult, but unbelievers, they just get it easy. They just get to do whatever they want. They don't suffer. Guys, that's a lie. Unbelievers suffer a lot. I would even say more than believers do. When you look at the life of an unbeliever, do you think that they're satisfied? Do you think that they genuinely love their life without God, no peace, no joy, no hope? They don't enjoy their lives. Christians, we have Christ. And also, if we got our fair share of fairness and justice, we need to understand where we would be. None of us would be here right now. We would all be in hell. We need to thank the Lord for his kindness and mercy. But because Jesus died in our place, we now get the privilege to live in such a way in which we get to die so that others can have Christ. We can now offer our own holy and pleasing sacrifices to God. If done with right motives, out of an understanding of the gospel, every good work that you do will glorify God. If out of an understanding of Christ loves me, he died for me, now I'm going to go let my light shine before others so that they may see my good works and glorify God who is in heaven. When we hear the word good works, I don't want us to immediately be like, we just went through Galatians, good works are bad. No, we know that we're not saved by works. We're saved by faith alone, in Christ alone. We know this. But we were saved to work. Ephesians 2:10. God has prepared good works for us to walk into. Paul obviously has no desire for Christians to be spectators. But giving your life to service and disciple making is difficult work. What would make a person want to do this? This leads to our second point. The second aspect of a living sacrifice I want to consider is why you should be a living sacrifice. On what basis does Paul make this appeal? What brings power to Paul's pleading? I appeal to you. Present your body as a living sacrifice. He says he appeals by the mercies of God. This is our first subpoint. Why should you be a living sacrifice? The mercies of God. Note that Paul does not simply say mercy. He says mercies, because there's an abundance. It's every single day. Paul makes it intimate. There are mercies that God specifically and directly has toward you every single morning. His mercies are new every morning. Every breath that you breathe, every time your heart beats, that is a mercy of God. This reminds us that God has been merciful to each one of us in many ways. See again that in verse 1, Paul says one of his favorite words, therefore. Every time we see the word therefore in Scripture, we got to ask ourselves, what's the therefore there for? Is that funny? All right. This clues us in that Paul has already given us the mercies of God. In fact, he's given us countless examples from Romans chapters 1 through 11. That's why he says, now in chapter 12, I appeal to you, therefore, because he's looking back in the last 11 chapters that he's already written. The first 11 chapters of Romans are all about gospel doctrine. Paul explains the gospel. Chapters 12 through 16 are about gospel obedience. You'll notice that Paul does this in almost all of his letters. He'll start by explaining the gospel, and then he'll start by living the gospel. But to give Paul's appeal more strength, let's look at some of these examples of the mercies of God that he's laid out so far in Romans. If you want to write these down, be ready. Romans 1, verse 16, Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes." The gospel is the power of God for salvation. This message of this one who came, lived, died, rose, has the ability to take someone from hell to heaven. Romans 2, verse 4, God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance. God's kindness, if any of us in here are in Christ, it is because God was kind to us, giving us time to repent. God could have struck us down the moment that we sinned, but he didn't. He was kind. Romans 5, verses 6 through 8. While we were still unable to love Christ, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. How many of you would die for the bully at school? What do you think that we did to Christ? All we did was trample his grace and mercy, yet he died for us. Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. All your sin, past, present, future, rolled up into a ball, thrown in the trash can. Christ has forgiven us completely. Lastly, Romans 10, verse 13. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone. Does it matter where you come from, who you are, what sins you've done? If you call on the name of the Lord, you will be saved. And then Paul says in our passage, I appeal to you based off of all those mercies that I just listed, everything that your God has done for you, the least you can do is present your body as a living sacrifice. Guys, this is essential to being a faithful Christian. You want to be used by the Lord. You must daily be at the work of consideration. You must daily consider the mercies of God. You have to think about what your God has done for you in order to joyfully serve him. When you forget the gospel, your service becomes legalism. You become just like the Galatians. When you forget the gospel, following Christ just becomes monotonous and dull. It's drudgery. You don't want to follow Christ when you forget the gospel. You don't want to go to church. You don't enjoy it. So why be a living sacrifice? The mercies of God. But God's mercies, as I said, they weren't all in the past. They're new every morning. Every breath is an evidence of God's mercy. So don't rob God's mercy with selfish living. This passage tells us we're to be living sacrifices, not only because of God's mercies, but also because it's our rational service. This is our second subpoint. You should be a living sacrifice because it is your rational service. Where am I getting at in this passage? I didn't read that when I read the two verses. In the ESV translation, it renders the end of verse 1 like this. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Spiritual in this verse simply means rational. This is the right way. in which you worship God. Worship is not limited to singing. That's worship music. Worship entails all of your life. Primarily, worship is being a living sacrifice. Paul's literally saying, present yourself to God a living sacrifice, which is your rational service. It is irrational to live for yourself. Time for a math lesson. I wasn't very good at math, so I'm going to keep it simple. 1 + 1.
11.
11. 2. 2. That's right. 1 + 1 = 2. It's pretty easy, right? It's pretty easy to understand. But how come it's so difficult for us to understand something that is just as simple? God has showered his mercies upon us. We offer ourselves to him. Christian. Yeah. How much of us, we bear the name Christ, but we don't really follow Christ. It should be simple. But before we think and we're paying God back by being a living sacrifice, remember what Romans 11:35 says. Right before our passage, Paul asks, who has given a gift to God that he might be repaid? You don't pay God back. What did John the Baptist say? I'm not even worthy to untie his sandal. Elsewhere in Scripture, we're likened to being unworthy servants. We're not even worthy to serve. It's just rational that we offer ourselves, not as payment back to God, just out of joy. We understand what he's done for us, and it was so great that all we want to do now is go worship God. So let's think rationally. If your life is not full of service to Christ, you're not in Christ. It doesn't make sense for us to continue living like the world, living for ourselves, if we understand what God has done for us. But this leads to our third point. The third aspect of a living sacrifice I want to consider is how you can be a living sacrifice. Now we know what a living sacrifice is and why we should be one, but how can we be one? Our first subpoint is this. Paul says, do not be conformed to this world. This is Paul's put off. How can you be a living sacrifice? Start by not being conformed to this world. To conform to something is to gradually align with it. We must remain on guard against becoming like this sinful world, doing what the people of this world like to do. I understand how easy it is to conform to the world. We all feel it. We all want to be comfortable. Not even ways that are sinful, but just simple weights. Hebrews 12:1 says to lay aside every weight and sin. So we're not just throwing aside every sin, we're also throwing aside weight that holds us down from following Christ. For me, sometimes it can just be ESPN, just constantly looking at highlights, scrolling, looking at stats and scores. Maybe it's YouTube, maybe it's video games, whatever it is. We need to lay aside weight that holds us down from following Christ. If we're spending all of our time doing it, and it's becoming an idol. We have to give it up and cut it off. But when we look at verse 2, all of this has to deal with the mind. The mind is the front line of battle for the Christian. Whatever you allow yourself to think and whatever you allow into your mind, you will conform to it. It's not an if, it's a when you will conform to it. And this doesn't happen overnight. That's why I said to conform to something is to gradually align with something else. Your mind is the pipeline to your heart. Think of this. Your mind is like the secretary for the heart. When you walk into someone's office, you'll first be met by their secretary. The secretary deals with all the information needed for their boss. And in this case, your heart is the boss. When information comes into your mind, whether from the outside world or from within your own head, your mind must make the decision to either entertain or to reject that thought. But know that if you let that thought be entertained by going past the secretary to the boss, you will conform to whatever reaches your heart. You will. That's how God designed us. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Of course, this isn't always true. You can be deceitful. But so too, generally, out of the abundance of the heart, the body acts. Everything that we do stems from your heart, so you have to guard it with a holy mind. So if you're continually letting in the world to train your heart, don't be surprised when your life is worldly and you waste your life and your life goes to shreds. 2 Timothy 2:21 says, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to God, ready for every good work. You must first be cleansed of your sin in order to be useful to God. You may profess to know Christ, but maybe you're like the Pharisees. You're dirty on the inside. Let's say you're thirsty. So you go into the kitchen and you see in your cabinet two cups ready for the taking. They both look the same on the outside. They're not glass cups. So you reach for one, assuming it's clean because it's inside the cabinet. You look inside and you see there's all kind of gross stuff in there. Somebody obviously forgot to wash it, and if you guys have sisters, you understand. So of course, what do? You're disgusted by it. You look inside, it's gross. Somebody forgot to wash it. You put it right back in the cabinet, and you grab the clean one. That's what we do. Guys, think about it. We all want to use what is clean. Why would God be any different? God is no different. We were created in God's image to be logical. If you want to be used by God, if you don't want your life to be wasted, you must be holy. Our second subpoint on how you can be a living sacrifice is to be transformed by the renewal of our minds. This is Paul's put on. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Transformation seems to be less gradual and more drastic. When you see something conform, you're not really caught off guard by it. But when you see the caterpillar turn into the butterfly, that's like, whoa, that's a transformation. But this isn't to say that you're going to go from loving the world to being as sanctified as the Apostle Paul himself in a night. But I am saying that there should be a noticeable difference, that your desires and the direction of your life should have significantly changed. I don't care how moral you are. If you go from loving the world to loving Christ, that is a significant change. And you can tell that in your own soul. Paul says we're transformed by the renewal of our minds. The mind must go from dirty to clean. And we will not be able to approve what is good until the secretary of our hearts is holy. But I also think Paul is hinting at the power behind our transformation. We can all conform to something and be active in conforming to it. You can't transform yourself. You're passive in your transformation. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, and we all, with unveiled face, seeing the goodness of the gospel, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. This comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So God uses his grace, which is the detergent of our souls, to clean off all the muck and grime out of our hearts so that we would be holy. It's the Lord who does this. Well, what are we transformed to do? Paul says it is to approve the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You might think, but if we're passive, how does this work? Once again, you got to behold the glory of the Lord. You got to remind yourself of the goodness of the gospel, and that is what transforms your heart. The more you're transformed to have the mind of Christ, the easier it's going to be to make the decision of, should I listen to that? Should I watch that? Should I do that? Should I be lazy and selfish with my time, or should I think rationally and offer myself up as a living sacrifice? Should be an easy answer. One brings a lack of peace, joy, and hope, and the other is the beginning of peace, joy, and hope. You must understand that. Don't get it backwards. So how can you be a living sacrifice? God has given us means by which he transforms us. This can only come through scripture, prayer, and fellowship. I'll just keep it that simple for right now. We must be reading the word of God for our mind to be renewed and transformed. That's specifically why God designed his word to bring us salvation and sanctification. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. We must be in prayer and communication with God. If I say I love this person and I never talk to them, do I have a relationship with them? No, that doesn't make any sense. Again, guys, God is the same way. We need to pray with the one who has died to secure our salvation. And lastly, fellowship. Guys, why is it not cool to fellowship in middle school and high school? Why is it not cool to be like, hey, what were you encouraged by that sermon? What you been reading recently? Why is it so weird to do that as a Christian? If you are a Christian, that is what Christians do. I wish I could go back to when I was in middle school and high school. I wish that I could share the gospel with my friends. I wish that I would have been more encouraging to my friends who were Christians. I wish I could go back, but I can't. Don't look back and wish. Do it now. Fellowship. It's such a good gift that the Lord's given to us. Don't just try to be cool. It's not going to be cool in hell. But let me ask you guys this question. By show of hands, who knows who Cooper Flagg is? Yes, the goat. He was supposed to be the replacement for Luca, for those of you who don't know. Cooper Flagg, he was a rookie this past year for the Dallas Mavericks, and he won the Rookie of the Year award. Yip, yip, hooray. A couple of weeks ago, I watched a video of an NBA press conference celebrating Cooper Flagg's recent Rookie of the Year award, where he received a bunch of questions from reporters about his season. One of the questions he was asked was, "We know it takes a lot of sacrifices to achieve an accomplishment like this. If you could tell anything to the younger Cooper that made those sacrifices to get you to this point, what would you say?" He answered, "I would just tell him that it's worth it. All the hours, the sacrifices, being different from everybody else, choosing to do things that other people weren't doing. It was the harder decision back then, but to me it looked like the easy decision. It was worth it." Do you guys hear his language? He said that the sacrifices he made were worth it. The time, the energy, the things that he missed in order to be good, he said it was worth it. For what? To receive an award for a sport that's going to rot away. Who's going to care about receiving an award in eternity? No one. It's vanity. Guys, why should we be okay with the people of this world being more passionate for the things of this world than we Christians are for Christ? May it never be that the people of this world, they want to do the things of the world more than we want to follow Christ. It shouldn't be. God has done too much. The people of this world are seeking a perishable wreath. They're seeking a reward that the world offers them. We seek imperishable wreaths. We work for eternal things, for others around us to be converted and conformed to Christ. Offer yourselves as living sacrifices to God, and you won't regret it. Let's pray. Father, we need your help to be living sacrifices. We need you to help us behold you, that we would see your goodness and that we would want to follow you. Lord, it is hard. There are so many things in this world that are trying for our attention, but please help us to see your gospel as supreme, to love you most. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.